On the line now, I should have Chris Marr from the Musical Youth Foundation. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon to you, John. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you very much for talking to us now. Just tell us a little bit about the Musical Youth. I think it originated from the Dublin City Soul Festival, was it?
That's correct. I suppose it was part of the original grand plan when I came up with the idea of setting up the Dublin City Soul Festival back in 2006. And I suppose the idea was that we wanted the festival to be something that local people could be proud of, an event that they could come and enjoy, something that would bring tourism into the country, which at the time nobody was talking about. And I was kind of banging my head against a brick wall saying, look, we're losing tourism. It's costing the economy money and it's going to be a big problem. And it's only now that it's sort of on the agenda, I suppose. But bigger than that, few days of the festival, you know, it's a 4-day thing. We wanted to have a much wider impact on the community and felt that the best way that we could do that over a long term period would be to help young people. And through my other hat, which is music and radio, I came into contact with schemes around the world where kids were given access to music, and it was proving hugely successful and beneficial to the children, in particular kids who maybe are growing up in tougher areas of the country and maybe get less opportunities than parents would like. And so the Musical Youth Foundation was born, and it's been great. I mean, it's been bloody tough as well, but the last 3 years, I mean, we've been able to work with community centres, giving children the opportunity to learn a musical instrument. And I mean, the life changing benefits, I mean, like we could do a whole day talking about it.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it really is. I suppose some of the quick things that I could tell people about it. If you think about back to the school days, you know, if you weren't good at a subject, you know, it could really get you down, because the teacher would be telling you all the time, you know, must do better, you know, not studying, not paying attention, whatever it was.
Yeah, and confidence suffered big time, didn't it?
Confidence suffered big time. And this is the thing, and we can all understand this. And if you think about, excuse me, if you're in work and your boss is giving you a hard time because you're not doing a perceived good job, that gets to you. And you go home and you're stressed, and you might turn to the drink or to the cigarettes or whatever it is that helps you to de-stress.
Or to a bit of music, maybe.
Well, exactly. If you're a child, that is even more difficult, because at a young age, you probably haven't learned yet how to de-stress and how to deal with the stresses and strains of life. And I suppose given the current climate that we're all living in, those stresses are much greater than they might have been a number of years ago. So, you know, kids are coming together. They're coming together in a group setting in community centres where they are playing their instruments and they're learning the instrument. But actually, that's probably secondary to the main benefits. You mentioned confidence. It gives them the self-confidence to go on. If they're good at their instrument, it shows them that, okay, well, maybe I'm not good at geography or I'm not good at maths, but I've found something here that I am good at. And all of a sudden, they can apply what they're learning in music to the classroom in other areas such as maths and geography, etc., and they get better, they improve. And this is something that is right across the board. People can Google it. There is so much research on this. I'm privileged. I feel privileged that I get to see it firsthand. You know, I would go into the community centres where we operate sort of once every 2 or 3 months to meet the kids and sort of see how they're going. And it's dramatic, the sort of the increase in the self-confidence and their ability to communicate. I mean, some of these kids would have been really shy. Some of them would be at risk of becoming early school leavers because they're just falling through the cracks in the system. Not everybody's academic. And certainly in the Irish system, in my experience, if you're not academic and you're not sporting, you're falling through the cracks. And then if you add on top of that, if you're from a perceived underprivileged area, all of a sudden when you leave school with no qualifications and no experience, trying to get a job is even more difficult, irrespective of whether there's full employment or loads of people looking for work. So I suppose it gives kids a great chance, you know, and I mean, one of the things that we found, and I suppose I didn't necessarily realise, was that we are catching some of those children that are potentially falling through the gaps. And that's great. I had a story yesterday about a young man who, he really was, he was coming up to that age where he would be legally allowed to leave school, and that's, he fully intended to do that. He just, he was a very shy young man. He wasn't interested in sport. He wasn't succeeding in the classroom in any great shape, and he was leaving school, and that was it. And all of a sudden, we came along with this music program, and he decided he wanted to sign up to it. Now he attends two of our programs, and he's sticking with school because he doesn't want to lose out on the instruments. And in the second lesson that he attends, he's actually helping some of the younger kids, showing them what he's learned.
So his social skills and everything have improved, self-confidence.
Absolutely, absolutely. The youth workers that I would engage with are telling me that because of the group setting, and what we do as well is we put a guitar into the hands of the youth worker as well. So if you imagine the setting, we go into a community centre, we could have 12 kids sitting in a circle, we have a music teacher that comes from Walton's New Music School, we have the youth worker in the room and obviously the kids. All of a sudden, they're all on an equal footing, because the teacher, the youth worker, I should say, could be picking up the guitar for the first time. So they're on a par with the kids. They know as much or as little as the kids do. And what the youth worker is telling me is that some of the things that they would have to deal with in other days with these kids, you know, drug abuse, alcohol, bullying, which is a very big issue in the media at the moment, it's very difficult to talk to kids about these things, because it's just another adult telling us what we can and cannot do is the way it's coming at the kids. But when they're in the music groups, they just chat, and they'll, you know, the stuff will come out, and the youth worker is able to gently guide or give advice, or if it's a more serious issue, they can do what they need to do to, you know, to have the best outcome.
Steer them in the right direction.
Exactly. You know, they're obviously working together as a group. Nobody is any better or any worse than the next man or woman or boy or girl, I should say. And so it really is great, and they share their skills, and you know, it's great to see how they've come on and how they've, you know, it teaches them to conquer their fears, you know. And I mean, in a time when mental health is, you know, it's tough for everybody out there at the moment, whether you're working or you're in business or you're struggling, maybe you haven't got a job. I mean, times are tough and it's hard to stay positive. You know, so it's great that this is a tool that we give kids that, you know, can make a difference in their lives and can show them that actually maybe things aren't that bad, you know. You know, sitting down and strumming your guitar or whatever instrument, I mean, for us it's guitars at the moment, you know, it's a great way to de-stress, similar to maybe somebody who might throw on the runners and go for a jog. You know, that's not for everybody. And of course, music is not for everybody in terms of playing it. But I think most people listening would understand that they get a lot from music, whether they be a musician or just somebody that enjoys listening to nice music. It's a great way to just get away from the stresses and strains.
Oh, so, I mean, sure. Listen to music and take you away, take you back, or take you whatever. But I'm just reading here. You also it's songwriting. You teach songwriting. So what we've just spoken about, if the child sits down and decides, well, I want to express my feelings in a song, this is another great.
Absolutely, that's exactly it. And you know, we all know the old saying: a trouble halved is a trouble shared. Yeah. But sometimes it's not easy to share a trouble. You know, whether for us adults as well. You know, sometimes you don't want to talk about it for whatever reason. You know, and you know, put pen to paper and it comes out. And even if you tear that bit of paper up and throw it in the bin, or you know, the song never sees the light of day, or it's not technically brilliant, it's just the process of sitting down, thinking about your feelings and your emotions and letting them out. And if it's a particular problem, you know, it could be bullying, could be any other thing, could be trouble at home, you know, it's a great way to just express those feelings. And I think that's something that's very important, because, you know, I think most people would know, if you bottle it up, it is going to be a problem at some point. You know, you become a pressure cooker effectively. And, you know, that's not good. And I think it has huge impact, and it has huge benefits for not just the kids involved, but the community at large. And, you know, if you can help a child to come out of their shell and to make them happier, I suppose, for want of a better description, that has a knock-on effect on the rest of the family and so on. So, you know, it's a great project, and I'm delighted that I've been able to work on this and to grow it and to see it grow. And, I mean, we want to make it bigger. We want to give it to every child. That's our mission, you know, to provide every child on the island of Ireland with access to a musical education. At the moment, 1% of Irish kids have access to a musical education, compared to 10% in Europe. Now, there's been a lot of talk about things that the Department of Education are going to be doing over the next few years, and that's fantastic. But it's still not enough. There's a lot more to be done. There's still a lot of kids that don't have access. And, you know, that's something that I'd say we're trying to change. And hopefully that, you know, your listeners and people that come in contact with the Musical Youth Foundation will say, oh, I like what those guys are doing. I want to help them. And yeah, that could be giving a donation. It could be volunteering your time. You could be doing the marathon to raise a bit of money. There's so many different ways that people can help and get involved. And the more people that get involved, the bigger the project, you know, the wider the impact. And that's what I say to people all the time. You know, I'm doing my best, killing myself sometimes to move it along in this current, you know, difficult climate that we all are struggling in. But, you know, if more people get what we're trying to do and want to help us, we're delighted to have them. And it does make a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've great admiration for you and your association, the Musical Youth Foundation. You mentioned wanting to give this to every child in Ireland. It goes back to funding, of course. You did get a large donation from US-based Silicon Valley.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We were very, this is, you know, some of the best news we've had in years, basically. It's StubHub, the StubHub Foundation, which is a corporate advised fund of Silicon Valley Community Foundation, which is, I know it's a big mouthful, but the bottom line is it's an eBay company, StubHub.co.uk. They have a team here in Ireland based in Blanchardstown, and through the corporate advised fund, they gave us a donation of effectively €20,000 when it was translated from dollars. It was $25,000. That is going to allow us to open between 6 and 8 new music education projects in community centres across the region. That we're inviting people, so if there's anyone involved in a community centre or think that their area deserves this project, they can get in touch with us through myf.ie, which is the easiest way to get to our website, and we'd send them out an application form. Obviously, you know, funding is still limited, so there's only so much we can do. But what I'm actually looking at the moment is for other centres that might come along and say, well, we'd love to do this, and maybe we are not ready to open more from a funding perspective, I'm looking at ways in which we might be able to fundraise together to get this opportunity out to more people. Because, as I say, I've read all the research when I was looking at doing this, but actually seeing it firsthand is why I'm still working on it, to be honest with you. Because without, you know, getting the violin out, it's been really tough, you know, to try and create a charity and to build it up and to run a festival. It's, you know, there's no money involved in it. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed in some respects telling people I earned €13,000 last year. That's what the charity was able to pay me, just enough to kind of pay the rent, pay the phone bill, ink for the printer, you know, keep the broadband going so I can send the emails and you know, try and grow the charity. It's tough. You know, sometimes you kind of go, well, Ginny, you know, why am I doing this? But then I look and sort of say, well, I'm doing it because I see the impact that it has. And okay, I'm not earning as much money as I was back in the day when I was, you know, working in radio full time. But what I'm doing is much more important, and it's making a difference. And that's why I keep doing it. And I hope that I can continue to keep doing it. And I very much feel that it's at the mercy, I suppose, of our donors, the people that kind of say, well, I like that organization and I'm going to give them €5 or €50 or €20,000 if they can afford it. You know, those are the people that allow me to kind of grow this vision and grow this project. And I'm very well supported by many, many volunteers and friends who, you know, encourage me when you have those days when you kind of go, God almighty, you know, how are we going to do this? How are we going to keep going, you know? And somebody comes along and just, you know, helps you to keep on going. And as I say, when you visit the community centres and see how the young people are changing, or if you talk to the youth workers and you find out, you know, particular cases like the one I mentioned where the young man was, you know, he was effectively gone, leaving school early, you know, that kind of motivates you to kind of go, well, we'll find a way to keep doing this. And, you know, this is only our third year for the charity. The festival's jumping into its seventh year now in May, but it's only the charity that we've been focusing on for the last 3 years. And, you know, hopefully people will like what we're doing. I mean, they won't see us standing outside the local news agent shaking a bucket. You know, they'll see us doing cool, well, what we hope are cool things, like the Soul Festival, where we put a stage into Merrion Square Park, and effectively it's a free event. 7 hours, it's over 2 days, two days, 7 hour concerts. People can come, and there's great, really great live bands and special guest performers. And effectively, it's free. We don't have an admission charge, but of course, we hope that people will say, well, we had a great day. If we were paying for this, we might pay 60 or 70 euros for a ticket. So, you know, it's easy to put a fiver or a tenner into the donation bucket. But it also means that then if somebody who doesn't have that kind of money can kind of come along and enjoy the experience, and it's a family event as well, so you can bring your kids, you know, and these are things that are important. You know, community, I think, is something that maybe was forgotten or didn't get as much attention as it needed. People are so busy, you know.
Yeah.
And it's important for us to sort of stop and just, you know, gather friends and family or whoever your support network is, and just relax and smile and, you know, be thankful, I suppose, for all the positive things. Because, I mean, when we turn on the TV or the radio or open the newspapers, there's a lot of bad news. And sometimes it can be hard to remember to look for the good things and the positive things and just to be thankful. I know I probably sound like a hippie now, but, you know, this is just I suppose it's what I see, right or wrong. And yeah. Obviously I'm trying to use my skills you know, to help others rather than just to line my own pockets, so to speak. You know, I had a good job. I worked in the radio business as a sales manager, and I do some broadcasting as well. And that was great. You know, it was nice not to have to worry about where the money was coming from, or if you needed a new pair of shoes, or you wanted to go out to dinner, you weren't worrying about it. But now I have to worry about those things. But as I say, I feel I'm doing something that is much more wholesome. I'm not saying that to sort of say, well, I'm great. I don't mean it like that at all. It probably sounds like that. You know, I want people to, this is a labour of love for me. And I hope that more people will look up the Musical Youth Foundation and get what we're trying to do, and will want to support us. And the more that they support us, the more that we'll be able to do.
Okay, well, listen, it's a huge undertaking after you took upon yourself, and, you know, fair play to you. And do you want to give out contact numbers where people can get in touch with you or hopefully donate?
Thing. Yeah, well, look, I'll tell you two quick things for you. I know you're busy there. The easiest way to find us is myf.ie. That'll bring people to our website. And there's all sorts of things there. We have a raffle that we're running at the moment. Tickets are just 3 euros. So if people listening would buy one ticket, we have 5,000 tickets that we want to sell, and we have 10 pieces of instrumental art, which is a project that we created from old broken instruments that had been donated to us, John, where basically I gave those instruments out to artists and musicians and designers, and they kind of gave them a new lease of life by painting them or doing all sorts of wild and wacky things to them. If people go to the website, they'll see them. We have 10 of these pieces. They're worth about 15,000 euro, not each, but collectively. So if somebody had 3 euros to spare and went online to myf.ie and was willing to buy a raffle ticket, that is a really great way that they can support us.
You just buy them online, Chris, is it?
Just buy them online, myf.ie.
Okay, but listen, unfortunately, the clock has beaten us.
No worries.
And thank you very, very much for talking to us today. And listen, if there's anything you want pushed on air or anything like that, you have my contact details. Don't hesitate in contacting me.
You're very good. And thanks for giving us the time to let people know about the Musical Youth Foundation, John. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You're more than welcome, Chris. And thank you very much. Talk to you again.
Bye.
Thank you.